Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, text. Let us just have a quick look. Text 43. Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And with our verse 43. I know what the meter is. Sri Krishna Krishna Saka Vrishni Risha Bhavanidru Rajanya Vamsa Gahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A summary of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kunti Devi. The Almighty Lord has his eternal transcendental abode where he is engaged in keeping Saravi cows. He is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim his devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administration work. He creates, maintains, and annihilates by his unlimited energies, and still he is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of his special attention because they are very important factors for the general welfare of living beings. Sri Krishna Krishna Saka Vrishnan Vrishnra Rishna Bhavani Drug Rajanya Vamsa Dahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravatara Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, And I offer you my respectful obeisances. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastrityadu Chitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we were reading over the last few days the verses in which Queen Kunti was saying how she wanted her attention to be exclusively drawn towards Lord Krishna and not be distracted by anything else or anyone else. She mentioned specifically her family members, but of course, in a broader sense, it is not just her family members that she may get distracted by. She might get, as we see ourselves, one may get distracted by almost anything within this material world. If Bharat Maharaj got distracted by a deer, then who knows? The potential is there to get distracted by almost anything. We might think that there are so many things within this world which we would not get distracted by. So therefore, how can you say that, you know, we could get distracted by so many things? That we might say there are only certain things I might become distracted by, but actually the potential is there for us to become distracted by practically anything. The mind is such. How do living entities who were human beings, how do they come to the point of taking the bodies of ants, bacteria, trees, birds? How do they get their bodies, those bodies? The answer essentially is because they became attracted to those things. So therefore, the airline pilots should be careful. They may end up as birds. Really? And the frequent flyers. I'm a frequent flyer, and I forget how many, but it's like about six or more airlines. So we must be careful, because we might become distracted and become birds. Those who like swimming, the surfers, the divers, and just the beach people, they may end up becoming fish. And those who do research into, you know, like scientific research into different diseases, they have these powerful microscopes to see the little bacteria and little, they may become bacteria. But really? Yeah. And even Prabhupada makes the point that sometimes you can see in people that they're developing certain features which it may be very subtle, but still they sort of resemble at least a little bit. There's some hint of a particular type of creature they have an interest in, like dogs. Get some people who keep dogs and are just in dog consciousness. They start looking like dogs. Anyway. But the point is there in principle that it's possible to become distracted by almost anything and to then die in that state of mind and then achieve that state. So therefore Queen Kunti has been saying, giving a very prominent example, my family member, that, you know, I don't want to be distracted by anything, even my family member. Yeah. But like we just said, the potential is there to become distracted by the most strange things. If you give yourself half a chance. Yeah. So, but we must become attracted to Krishna. So here then, Queen Kunti, she is, well, this is the last of her prayers. Look at that. This is the last of her prayers. And she is giving, it's sort of like a summary. It's sort of like a summary, you could say. Summarizing Krishna. If you were to summarize Krishna in a few essential, under a few essential headings, he's like this, he's like that, he's like something else. What would you say? This is what Queen Kunti says. You're the chief within your family. You're the destroyer of the demons. Your potency is eternal, never deteriorates. You're the proprietor of the spiritual world. You descend to relieve the distress of the cows, the Brahmins, the devotees. You have all mystic powers. You're the teacher of the whole universe. And you are the Almighty Supreme Lord. That's her summary of Krishna. So, that's nice. If you take these different aspects of Krishna, if you take them one by one, and you go into each one, and then after you've gone into the first one, now you take the second one, you go deep into the second one, you could be meditating on Krishna for a long time, thinking about how he is like this, what he does in this sense, certain pastimes in which he displays this. Different devotees who relate with him in those situations when he's displaying that quality. You could end up thinking about Krishna for a long time, isn't it? If you really went into each one. And ultimately, at least in one sense, this is the idea, to help us remember Krishna in so many ways. Because Krishna is multifaceted. And our minds tend to not function so much in multifaceted ways. Our minds tend to be able to focus really more on one thing at a time. Or maybe two, but not a large number of things at one time. You know, there's a famous story you may have heard, because I've told it in Mauritius before. There was a devotee whose name was Kushakrata. He passed away a few years ago. He was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he was a big scholar. Taught himself Sanskrit from the time he joined as a full-time devotee, fully engaged in devotional service. He taught himself Sanskrit. So, you know, big scholar, highly intelligent. One day he met a born-again Christian. Have any of you ever met such a species? The born-again Christian species. We will not go into too many details about it. But they're sort of a tattva of their own. Anyway, basically, they're very enthusiastic about Jesus. And they want you to become enthusiastic. And if you don't, they'll make you become enthusiastic. By hook, crook, force, at gunpoint, anything. Okay, so you get the idea. So he met this born-again Christian many years ago in Los Angeles. And the man was saying, yes, God, oh, God is so wonderful. I love God so much. Just fantastic. And Kushikrata Prabhu said, oh, well, I'm glad you like that God, because we like him too. And the man said, ah, you think you like God. You don't know what liking God is about till you know me and how I love God. So Kushikrata Prabhu said, you know, actually, you'd be surprised how much we like God, but why don't you tell me how you like him, how you appreciate him. And this man said, wow, fantastic, thank you. He said, yeah, God is so great. And God is so wonderful. And God is so powerful. And he loves us all. And God is so great. And God is so wonderful. And God is so powerful. And he loves us all. And God is so great. So you see, as they say, the needle got stuck. You understand that? On the record. So it's replaying, replaying, and replaying. So, yeah. We see, for example, well, the point is that our minds are small. And the capacity of our minds to contain information at one time is small. But Krishna is multifaceted. And every different facet, every different aspect is very amazing. Very amazing. So, we should, as devotees, and Queen Kunti is trying to help us, we should try to cultivate appreciation for Krishna in different ways. So then at different times, we can then focus on those different features of Krishna and go into each one in depth. This is very important. After all, in Bhagavad Gita 1865, what does Krishna say? Devotee, 1865. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mam evaisyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. So Krishna says, the main point I was thinking of, manmana, think of me. If we're going to think about Krishna and not become like that Christian person, then we have to know something about Krishna. Otherwise we'll run out of things to think about Krishna, except for going back and repeating things. Which is not bad, but still, it's nice to appreciate Krishna more broadly. For example, in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami presents the qualities of Krishna. Are you familiar with that part of Nectar of Devotion? Did you read? What's read? Lise. Is that to read? En français? Lire. Je lis. Vous lis. Lise. I thought so. Lise. So, yeah, did you Lise that those chapters of Nectar of Devotion? What's the past T-Lise? Okay, anyway. But, there's detailed discussion that it is not that Krishna simply has 64 qualities. And once you've read, you know, those few chapters of Nectar of Devotion and you've maybe memorized the qualities, it is not that you now know all about Krishna. Like when you live with a person long enough, you learn that person. If you know what I mean. You learn that person. You know how they think, how they feel, and in any situation, you can know or have a good idea how they will respond. You can learn a person, and then you can control the person by, as they say, pushing their buttons, knowing how to stimulate them to do certain things. Anyway, so we should not think that we can learn Krishna in that sense, and then, you know, now I know Krishna, what's next? In Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, chapter 14, Lord Brahma is offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. So Lord Brahma makes the point, you have, my Lord, you have so many qualities. You have more qualities than there are grains of sand at Flick and flap. Or, what's the beach down here called? Velma. More grains of sand than on the beach at Velma and Flick and Flack and the various other beaches and in the Sahara Desert. Now we're talking about a large number. But Lord Brahma says, you have more quality. Then you have more qualities than, what is it? There are three examples he gives. But the third is you have more qualities than there are atoms in the universe. The number of atoms between you and me, just as we sit here in this sort of little space here, the number of atoms in that space is probably, we do not have a number for it. We have not come up with sufficiently large number. But now what to speak of atoms in the universe? But Krishna has more quality. Because within the universe, there are a certain number of atoms. It is finite. It is not infinite. Hare Krishna. Good girl. It is not infinite. Infinite, beyond finite. Finite means specific. Actual specific. Something. So, but Krishna has more quality. Plus, on top of that, Sanatana Goswami, in one of his purports to one of the verses in that chapter, 10th canto, chapter 14, Sanatana Goswami says that for every living entity in existence, in the material and spiritual world, for each living entity, Krishna has one quality for you only. And he never reveals it to any other. And then one quality for you, which he never reveals to you or anybody else. So, how many qualities does Krishna have that is beyond us? Way, way, way beyond us. So Krishna is such a multifaceted personality. And if we talk about getting to know Krishna, sort of learning Krishna, you cannot do that. But we should try to learn like those 64 qualities, these qualities given here by Queen Kunti. And then you could say, try to explore those qualities. In fact, it's described, the 64 from Nectar of Devotion, the 64, they are really just headings. But then there are subcategories within each, but they are the main categories. But then there's subcategories. So these things, we should try to investigate and learn. And, you know, like when you come across a certain feature of Krishna, then it's good to note it down. Isn't it at school? Children are encouraged to write things down. And it may not be just so they improve their handwriting, but actually it's part of the process of learning and taking in information into the system. So we should also do the same thing. And then, just ask yourself, how many pastimes of Krishna do you know? If you were asked, tell us now every pastime of Krishna you know until you've finished, how many would that be? Anyway, you think. But I think it would not be such a huge number. I don't think we'd be talking about hundreds. I doubt it. So therefore we should get into these things. How many pastimes of Srila Prabhupada do you know? You know, there's a way of testing people on a subject. They must talk about the subject without stopping. And they can never stop for more than, it's like, 2 seconds. And, you know, they stop and they're timed. You try it. How you keep saying names of Krishna, but you cannot stop for more than 2 seconds and see how far you get. And you'll see you don't get that far before you have to really sit back and think, now hang on a minute, wait. But then your 2 seconds is up. So here then, Srila Prabhupada says, a summary of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kunti Devi. It's a very brief summary. But just these, however many it was, what did we say, 8 or 9 or whatever the number is, of these different characteristics of Krishna, each one of them is so deep, you could write a book about each one. How, for example, he has his eternal abode. You could write a book. You could write, a whole series of books about his eternal abode. He's engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. You could write a book, Krishna with the Surabhi cows. He's served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. You could write a book about it. So these things are very deep, and they're to help us to come to this point that Krishna mentions in 1865. How does it begin? 1865, Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, Bhava Mad Bhakta. But I'm just talking about the Manmana part. Think of me, Krishna said. So if you're going to think about Krishna, what are you going to think? How many pastimes do you know? How many places? How many instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita do you know? So we should, Srila Prabhupada said, we should study his books. Prabhupada said, and we should discuss them threadbare. It means just go into it as far as we can go. Prabhupada said, the devotees should sit together and like great professors, they should analyze these things. Not speculatively, But, you know, okay, we're talking about some particular aspect of Krishna. Well, in this canto of the Bhagavatam, it says this. Well, in this part of some other book, it says that. And in this way, you know, really go into these subjects of Krishna. In this way, deepen our Krishna consciousness. Not that simply, that Krishna simply becomes a person we pray to when we're in difficulty. When we feel we need some help. Oh, Krishna. But other times it's sort of, you know, our Krishna consciousness is on some sort of automatic pilot program. It's just going on. Maybe we chant, that's nice. And if we're in difficulty, we pray, it's also nice. But when we cook, what do we think of when we cook? Do we think, I'm going to make my favorite preparation. And then, you know, we start making it. But we're actually thinking about making it for me. But just incidentally, we offer it to Krishna. But are we really meditating on pleasing Krishna? How would he like it? Do we know how he might like it? Do we know how he may like it cooked? And when we're doing it, are we really absorbed in the mood that I am doing it for Krishna and I'm really, you know, I really want to do it as nicely as possible for Krishna? Or are you just one of those, what, automated housewives? The automated housewife, you press the go button and she's just cooking and whatever else. And RT just, you know, it's all automation. Anyway. So this is what is being stated here. Let me just repeat the verse. O Krishna, friend of Arjuna. Now that can be a whole meditation. How Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. Chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni. You are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode. And you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers. And you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You're the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.